It's Saturday, July 25th, 2009, and we are here live at Kansas Fest 2009 recording A2 Unplugged. So aloha and welcome to everyone. This is the Apple II podcast, A2 Unplugged, coming to you live from Rockhurst University at Kansas City, Missouri. Okay, welcome back, everyone. We're here live at Rockhurst University in Kansas City, Missouri, recording A2 Unplugged, the Apple II podcast, brought to you by A2Central.com, your total source for Apple II computing. Visit them on the web at www.a2central.com, and by JuiceGS, the world's premier Apple II publication. Visit them at www.a2central.com. Oh, www.juice.gs.
That's why we need editing.
We're here. It's the Saturday of Kansas Fest. It's about 9:48 a.m. in the morning. The last people who are here are kind of straggling in as we drag ourselves through yet another near sleepless night. And I'd like to say that this is my 16th Kansas Fest in a row. And pretty happy with the way things have turned out. So we're recording here in front of a live audience. And we have an open mic. We're also in the A2Central.com IRC chat room. And if any of you folks are there right now, not that you can hear me now, if any of you folks are there, you can certainly go ahead and ask questions. So I'd like to kind of start off by putting someone on the spot, and that's going to be Andy Malloy, who's from JuiceGS Magazine and part of the KFIS committee, to just give us a couple of words on how things have been going and anything you'd like to say. Take it away, Andy.
Thanks, Ryan. This year, we really had a whole host of people come out and agree to do sessions. So I think we had up to 25 sessions scheduled this year, which was certainly an increase from last year. We had some sessions that went after dinner. We've got sessions running in parallel this morning. We have a workshop on building a Replica One going on at the same time as all our morning sessions here. So that's exciting that the new people decided to do sessions. Old timers have come back to do multiple sessions. And just to pick out one that I enjoyed, a new attendee named Ivan Drucker came out and did a session on the Apple IIe card that goes inside your LC computer. LC Mac. So it was a transition time when the 2E was still big in the schools and Apple was trying to get the Macs more and spread out. So he went over how to use it, how to attach Apple 5 1/4 disk drives to it, and move software back and forth from your Apple 2E to your Mac.
Okay. And I do have to say that one of the things that I've been pretty impressed with at this Kansas Fest, that we've had a lot of new people, period. And a lot of those new people have gone ahead and given presentations, or at least not been very shy at all, which is a really nice thing. You have anything else to say, Andy?
Well, there were a number of interesting new products or upgrades released. I don't know if you want to go over that later, but I was excited to see some of the things that are going to continue today to appear.
Well, why don't you go ahead and tell us what it is that you found exciting?
Well, I enjoyed hearing that Sweet 16 version 2.0 and then 2.1 was released this weekend. A number of new features.
And actually, in the beauty of this live podcast recording, we have Eric Shepard of Syndicom, Sheppy, the programmer behind Sweet 16. If he'd like to say anything about it, he doesn't look like he wants to say anything about it yet.
Yeah.
Sheppy.
Yeah, it's I posted it. I posted 2.0 the other day. It has some neat new features, including the ability to do something I call MUPACs, where you can actually save your configuration bundled up with your ROM, your disk images, your preferences, your battery RAM, all of that stuff, into a package file that you can then double-click from the Finder to bring back that exact same set of Apple IIgs setup, which is a super convenient way to like set up so that you can quickly start up a specific game or use a specific set of utilities, or to kind of sandbox a particular environment while you're testing something out, for example. Then I had to release 2.1 because we found, Ryan actually found a serious bug right after, I mean like hours after I posted 2.0, so I rushed out a 2.1 that fixed that and also added some menu options for quickly resizing the GS screen to specific screen sizes so that you could better take advantage of the big screen you have on your Mac. I'm pretty excited to have that out the door, and it's kind of like a monkey off my back to have that done, and I can start focusing on kind of smaller, more interesting bumps to what it's going to be capable to do in the future.
And I do have to thank you, just because all of my coding in the last couple of years has been done on Sweet 16.
Yeah, mine too.
Yeah, so it's made it a whole lot easier. And since you're up there, I think you have a couple of other products that you might want to plug since you're there.
Yeah, I've got six projects I'm releasing here at Kansas Fest this year. Two of them have not been announced at this moment. They're going to be announced this afternoon. So in addition to the Sweet 16 2.1, I've got three CD-ROM projects. One of them is I discovered that my license with Apple allows me to distribute the Apple IIgs System 6.0 Golden Master CD. Yes, it is not the current version of the operating system, which of course is, you know, System 601, but it does have some really interesting utilities and tools and sample code and stuff like that on it, which makes it kind of a worthwhile product, I think. And I'm going to be selling that for $25. Here at Kansas Fest is $15. And then two more projects. After going through the license, you know, with a fine-tooth comb, I determined that it was a reasonably safe bet to finally go ahead and release the APTA manuals all as searchable PDF files on CD-ROM. So I have the APTA Apple II reference library, which has all of the toolbox manuals, the ProDOS 8 technical reference, the Apple IIc, IIe, GS firmware references, GSOS reference, etc., all on it, and that's $129 or $99 here at Kansas Fest. And then in addition to that, I have the APTA Apple II software CD-ROM, and that has system software and Apple developer tools and HyperCard and all of that stuff on it. And that one also is $129 and $99 here at Kansas Fest. And if you go to the Syndicom store and you look those up, you'll get a complete list of everything that's on them. But it's like $500 or more worth of stuff on each disc. So I'm hoping that that'll make a lot of people happy, because it's a lot more cost-effective way to get this stuff than buying it all on paper.
And I think I know at least one person who's definitely going to buy the APTA stuff.
Yeah, excellent.
Yeah, it's that guy in the mirror. Okay. Anything else, Sheppy? Thanks for coming again. Good to see you.
Sure, thanks. I would talk about the stuff I'm, you know, the other two projects, but since I haven't announced them yet, I'm going to keep them to myself for a few more hours.
Okay, that's more than fair. Thanks a lot. Okay. Okay. Andy, since you have the microphone again, and actually since you're Ken Gagne's right-hand man at JuiceGS, maybe you can just talk about things he announced earlier on in the conference.
That's right. Ken did release a project he's been working on related to JuiceGS. One is that he did announce we'll have a 2010 volume, so that was exciting. Subscriptions are up, as I understand it, so people are still continuing to support the, as he calls it, the last remaining Apple II publication in print. And secondly, he released the first ever JuiceGS wall calendar.
Now, for those of you folks who are listening, it's not the staff of JuiceGS in less than attractive poses and levels of clothing every month, just right. So you know.
We do have the Apple IIgs wearing a bikini, so people find that more attractive, we thought, than the staff photos.
I was wondering why Ken was looking for pictures of certain things that I had taken in the past. And I told him, well, how badly do you need it? Because it's going to take me hours to find. And even then, I don't even know if I'm going to find them. So I'm glad that it was for, I thought it was going to be for a roast is what I thought it was going to be for, but I guess not.
Yeah, the calendar's full color, has a nice spiral binding, and there's many dates spread throughout the year to tell you important dates in Apple II history. So the day that Apple sold the millionth Apple IIe and other dates like that. So I don't know the prices off the top of my head, but they are available at the Juice GS website. You can order it and have it shipped to you.
And I think there's slightly special pricing over at Kansas Fest as well. So if any of you folks are interested in doing that at the vendor fair, I think Ken is busy soldering right now. Hopefully he hasn't burned anything down. Okay. This is also the first year that there's been a lot of Twittering going on at Kansas Fest. And Kirk Mitchell, who is sitting next to Andy, is the official Kansas Fest Twitterer. Kirk is also my longtime roommate, and you know, I can't say quite how disappointed I was to find out he was the official Kansas Fest Twitterer.
Well, apparently I'm also his Ryan chauffeur.
Yes.
We have had quite some adventures in Kansas City.
Well, if you had listened to my GPS in the first place.
Yeah, this GPS says turn right, turn right, turn right when you have to turn left, so that's, I get very confused about that technology.
Three rights do equal a left.
That is true. I should have followed. Well, it took us to the middle of a train yard there for a Walmart, so I'm not really sure about that either.
But how has the Twittering experience been? Do you think a lot of people have been following it?
Evidently. I'm not quite the chatterer that you are when we get on tweets, but it's been fun. And, of course, I fall behind in some of our activities there. But evidently, Twitter was over capacity there when I had some big news, and then I forget about it. So.
Oh, and actually, I think that, Kirk, you have also been the most active person posting updates about Kansas Fest to the web.
Well, yeah, I go to CSA2 there and try to keep people updated. I just remember in years past there, I was always intrigued by the K-Fest and what was happening when I was not able to make it. So I figure it's just a small thing I can do to keep people up on what's happening.
And for those folks who don't know, Kirk's kind of been doing that for many years now.
Yeah, I can't remember how many years it's been since I tried. My first year here was in 1997, and one of the things I did try to do there was taking digital photos with a quick take camera and trying to post them online the same night. And I decided that was too much work to have. I wanted to have more fun here, so I sort of abandoned that.
Yeah, and how far we've come since then. And speaking of photos, if people do want to see photos of Kansas Fest, I've been updating my personal Flickr account every night with photos of Kansas Fest. Now, I realize that to some people, this is just going to be looking at pictures of people they don't know. But if you are interested in seeing some photos of Kansas Fest 2009, I have been putting them up on my Flickr feed, and we will add a link in the show notes whenever we actually get to show notes on that. Okay, but thank you, Kirk. And let's see, Andy, maybe since you're the official Kansas Fest committee person here, I know we talked a little bit about sessions. I'm just wondering, besides the ones you already talked about, what other highlights you had from sessions or good comments that you've had or anything like that?
Well, I like that we have sessions that some are very technical, all the way to ones that could be enjoyed by maybe novice Apple II users, people are interested in games. For instance, we had Ferdinand Meyer-Hermann come all the way over from Germany. He did a very interesting session on Apple II video signal and the whole method that the Apple II does to output video. So it was interesting to hear about, you know, how Waz set this up, and then basically how can it be reproduced in an add-on card today so that we can take video further and get it onto our LCD and our CRT monitors.
And just to add to that, I have to say, Ferdinand is a young guy, and he was doing a presentation in clearly what's not his native language, and he was very, very impressive, and I think a lot of people would agree with that. It was a very impressive presentation, and it's more impressive considering how youthful he is.
and the fact that he's not giving it in his native language. I really was very impressed by that.
Yeah, it was impressive. And towards the end, when he actually demoed the prototype card that he's working on, and we could see the games and other software he loaded appear right on the CRT and the LCD, the crowd was pretty happy too.
Okay. What do you think about another newcomer, Vince Briel's presentation?
Yeah, Vince came out of the blue. He did come to do the replica workshop, but we just found out that he wanted to get some feedback on a project he's been working on related to the Apple II. He wanted to see what the crowd here thought. Is this a project we would enjoy and use? Should he go forward with it?
You want to see what that project was?
Yeah, he really took us by surprise, and he brought his Apple II, set it up, and inside there was a small card mounted with a USB thumb drive plugged into the card. The thumb drive was loaded with MP3 songs, and they were playable with a speaker hooked up, but you could control it through the Apple II software that he wrote. So you could load tracks, go forward, backwards, and you could play the music in the background and switch over and actually use your Apple II for other things.
Yeah, that was pretty impressive, I think. And I think other people also got excited by the possibility of just having some kind of USB interface on the Apple II. And not quite sure how that's all going to go, but you know, once you've got the hardware interface, if you can get the drivers written to use other peripherals, then who knows what it's going to be able to do. Okay, we did have going on at the same time as Kansas Fest, I guess it's Mount Kira Fest. Do you guys know if that's how it's actually pronounced? Nobody here seems to know. Andrew Rowan of Australia, who has been to Kansas Fest quite a few times, he's actually heavily involved in the Marinetti open source project now, had helped to organize a Kansas Fest-like event over in Australia, and we tried to link up with them via video chat last night, and maybe tried might be the operative word. It didn't work quite as well as we wanted to. Andrew is actually in A2Central.com chat, or has been in and out of A2Central.com chat, asking if we've been following the Mount Kira Fest tweets on Twitter. And I just wanted to tell Andrew, when you listen to this, yeah, I have been following them, and actually I've noticed that you've been doing quite a bit there in the last day or so. So I'm sad that you folks aren't here with the rest of us here, I'm glad that that's going on as well. I think in Japan, Bill Martins and Jim Maricondo at least have gotten together as well at the same time as Kansas Fest. So maybe that's kind of our virtual Kansas Fest around the world, isn't just people following online, but people actually getting together in person and trying to link up via video and audio chat. And unfortunately, like I said, our chat didn't go quite as well as we wanted it to last night, but you know, it was at least an interesting experiment. New products released at Kansas Fest. Sheffy already went over his. I actually have released two things, announced one. Did release Tutor, the world's worst name for a Twitter client for the Apple IIgs that I announced last year and was hoping to finish any time then, and finally actually finished it about a week ago before released. Released Stock Quote CDA, which is a pretty unimpressive looking classic desk accessory to get stock quotes from Yahoo. And that is released as public domain, including the source and the script to compile it written in Orca Pascal. I'm releasing that to the public domain so that people actually can take a look at code to actually go ahead and do Marinetti programming if people want to know how to open a port or write to a port or something like that. You got it in front of you now, so you can go ahead and take care of that. And I did announce, and I got to talk to Andrew about it again, I did announce that we would be updating the Marinetti FAQ for Marinetti 3.0, and I'm just waiting for some feedback from him. I would like to get that out this week. I'm still on vacation this coming week, so if I can get that out before I go back to work, I'd be quite happy. Okay. I know Sheffy's had his announcements. Anything else been announced here at Kansas Fest? Can you folks recall? Andrew or anybody else? Are you missing anything?
Well, I don't know if I mentioned the Apple II video session, but there was a product coming out of that called the Apple II VGA card. And there's I'm sure there's going to be more information in the show notes about that. But it is something that people here have opportunity to buy. And there's that's going to be in conjunction with, is it Reactive Micro?
I'm not sure.
I think Henry Corbis is going to be working to bring that product here to North America.
Okay. Okay. That's great. Okay. Okay. And any other session highlights? Anything anybody else wants to plug? Anything anybody else wants to comment on? We got about 8 people in the audience here. Anybody want to make any plugs, say anything, be recorded live for prosperity on the internet? Put yourself on E2 Unplugged, much to your chagrin. Jeffy.
Yeah, I just wanted to say that I really appreciated Ivan's session on the 2E card for the Mac LC. Obviously, I was familiar with the existence of that card, but I had never seen one in action before. And he did a really good job of talking up that card and making it obvious just what a really nice piece of hardware it actually is. And I'm going to be having to have a long, probably painful discussion with my wife when I get home because I want one and a machine to put one in. So,
yeah, that would be actually that probably would help your workflow a bit, I would think, right?
Yeah, it would, because right now what I've got for producing discs to sell to people, I've got a Mac SE that I make the 3.5-inch discs on my desk, and then across the room I have the GS I use for doing the 5.25s. And with a Mac LC 3 or something with the 2E card in it, I could produce both of those in one machine that would fit on my desk, and I could also run MPW on it for my GS programming that I like to do in MPW a lot of the time. So, and that would be like fantastic for me.
Okay. So yeah. So Sarah, if you're listening, it actually would help Sheffy's productivity if he got that set up.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just so you know. Okay. Anyone else? Anyone else have anything to say? Want to be recorded for prosperity on A2 Unplugged? I do have to comment. One of the comments that I have is that we've had a lot of new people this year. I think I heard about 20% of the attendees were new. Does that sound right to you? Looks like it. I got some heads nodding over here. And a lot of those people have given presentations, so we already did speak about Ivan's presentation and Ferdinand's presentation, and Martin also gave a presentation on the monitor, not a video monitor, but actually the Apple II Plus monitor, if I recall correctly. And unlike the rest of us, didn't use PowerPoint or Keynote to do it. Actually, used the monitor in an Apple II Plus, a physical Apple II Plus, in order to do so. And I thought that was actually pretty cool. Did anyone else who was new give a presentation, or were those the three? I believe that those were the three. Andrew, you're the schedule guy. Do you know off the top of your head?
I think that's right. And Vince Briel also did. Vince Martin, Ferdinand, and Ivan.
Yeah. And a few more things I did want to cover before we kind of wrap up, because we got like maybe about 5 more minutes, I think, before the next session is on. One thing I wanted to cover was I was wondering what people thought about the non-Apple II sessions that we've started to have more and more of in recent times. I actually have kind of started giving them myself as well. I gave a session on geocaching this year, which is a non-Apple II kind of activity. And actually, that was kind of interesting because I got... Bruce went ahead and found a geocache. I landed my GPS, and he found one. First time I think he actually has gone looking for one. Tony Diaz, who actually is an experienced geocacher, did win the contest that we had associated with that. But I'm just wondering what people thought of those non-Apple II type sessions, like the iPhone 3.0 session, the geocaching session, and I don't know if there is any others, but... Oh, and Dancing with the Waz, which I guess is kind of an Apple II session. Anybody have comment on that? Chevy?
Yeah, I don't feel like I should be monopolizing this microphone, but I somebody should say something. I personally think it's great. I mean, at least, you know, in a small number, because while they might not be Apple II related, they're kind of the same sort of, you know, geek-friendly content that, you know, Kansas Fest has always been about. And it's not like it's a new thing to have non-Apple II content. That's been going on for good 15 years now, I think. And a lot of it still has, you know, kind of application. I mean, you talk about iPhone, but you can get, you know, modern versions of your favorite iPhone or Apple II, some of your favorite Apple II games, and play them on your iPhone, for example. So that's relevant, I think, to Apple II users. And what was the other one?
There's geocaching, there's Dancing with the Waz.
The Mac Mini one, you know, tearing down the Mac Mini and, you know, finding out how it's built inside and, you know, learning how to upgrade it. That's also, I think, you know, kind of a cool, nerd-friendly sort of presentation. I got a kick out of that, so.
Okay, thanks a lot. And looks like Kirk has something else to say on that.
Well, I do appreciate the session you did on the prevalence here of the mobile websites there that are most likely going to make it most useful for the Apple IIgs. It's not glutted with graphics and still has a lot of the information, so I was very impressed by that particular thing. I know it did have to do with the Apple IIs, but it wasn't something I anticipated or, you know, even given it much thought. We've always been concerned about having a browser for the GS, and if we can take advantage of the mobile websites that are now, you know, becoming so common, I think that's going to be great for the Apple II.
Okay, thanks a lot. One other topic to definitely cover, and this one, again, mostly for you, Andrew. I put Andrew on the spot. He just happens to be in the hot seat today. Was on the amount of sessions that there have been. I know we've maybe touched on it a little, but maybe if you could comment on that, because you've been doing the scheduling for a few years now, and it seems to me that this is probably the most number of sessions that we've had in a long, long time.
Yeah, and people came out right up until the start of the show. We're still submitting session ideas and topics. So part of, I guess it's good that we can be flexible enough to add things at the last minute and rearrange things as we need it. But yeah, as we mentioned earlier, sessions went into the evening once or twice. We have sessions going on side by side this morning. So it was encouraging because that's the content that really makes the week. That's the bulk of the things that go on. People trading knowledge, coming here and getting excited about a project and going back and maybe trying it on their own or talking it up in the dorms at night.
Yeah, and I, you know, this is the first time in many years when we actually have two tracks of sessions going on, even if it's just for this morning. I mean, I cannot remember the last time. It was definitely like in the mid to late 90s was the last time we had like multiple tracks of sessions. In the past few years, maybe the past dozen years or so, you've been able to go to every single session if that's what you wanted to do. But this year, fortunately or unfortunately, at least this morning, you have to make a choice. So I don't know if you had anything more to add on that.
Well, we didn't touch on the keynote speaker, but...
Oh, there you go. Yeah.
Jason Scott, who's a documentarian and a historian, who's, I guess, most well-known for a website he maintains called textfiles.com, and he's collected all the documents and text from the BBS era back in the 80s and, I guess, early 90s, and that's been immensely popular. But then he went further and created... 3-DVD disc documentary on BBSs, and we did have a session on that a year or two ago. So he came and gave our keynote speech, and he also talked about his upcoming project, which was a new documentary covering the history of text adventures called Get Lamp. And we all love the old Infocom games, and the Apple II definitely had a serious role in some of those early games. So we heard lots of stories, and I found him to be an entertaining speaker.
Yeah, and you'd think that, you know, if we're covering the event, we probably ought to cover the keynote speaker, right? And I actually bought one of those DVDs from him. I think he was overwhelmed by the response because I believe he brought about 10, and he definitely sold out with other people
wanting to purchase. I did want to cover the facilities while we were here. I do like the Rockhurst facilities a lot better than I did like the Avila facilities as a whole. I think the food here is better than it was at Avila. The one thing I did have to say that might not be the best is the Wi-Fi coverage. We've had some issues with that. But aside from that, I think that it's actually been pretty darn decent. And in fact, thanks to Andy's scheduling, I think even when they had the power outage, we were able to be largely unaffected by the power outage because the power outage was going out in the dorm. We knew about this beforehand. And we had sessions going on in this activity center. And I don't think, like, I didn't even notice. If people had never told me there was a power outage, I wouldn't have known. So good job with that, Andy, I think as well.
And thanks to Tony, too.
Okay. That's great. Still on the agenda for today, we do have a couple of demos. We have the vendor fair. Tonight we have dinner out, and dinner out is going to be at Jack Stack. Okay. And tonight's movie is Star Trek. And those of you folks who know me know I pretty much never go to the movie, but I'm actually thinking about going to it tonight. Haven't committed yet, but thinking about it.
Yeah, I think we have 24 of the attendees signed up to go.
Okay, so pretty good chance. How many of you folks have seen Star Trek before?
Twice.
So, Sheffy's already seen it twice, so this will be a third time. Yeah. It's worth seeing a third time.
Yep.
Okay. If Sheffy can see the movie three times, I guess I can probably see it one time. Okay. And then tomorrow, everybody will be kind of closing up and heading home. Okay. Any closing thoughts, anyone? Any last things to say? Anybody? Because I know we're running overtime. We're about 3 minutes over now. If not, I'd like to thank everyone for being here and participating in our live recording of A2 Unplugged. I'm hoping, if I'm really lucky, I can actually get this released tonight. That actually would be a reason not to go to the movie, but I'm hoping we can get it released tonight. Thanks to the committee for putting together another great event. To Kirk Mitchell for being my personal personal chauffeur and whipping boy and pack mule and rooming with me for the 14th time, 13th time, I don't know, something like that. I don't know, too many to count. I have roomed with Kirk Mitchell more than I've roomed with anyone in my life. I actually think I probably spent more hours with him than I did with my college roommates at this point, even if it's just 1 week a year. So anyway, thank you all for coming, and let's go ahead and let the next session get going.